person who writes the introduction says that a pilgrim is different from a mountain climber. In describing this woman, he says that she looked along and inward toward mystery, whereas a mountaineer longs to look down and outward to total knowledge. I've found that Lent can and should be a time when we plumb the depths of our faith. We dig down rather than outward, where we reflect on aspects of faith and life. You say you're not the reflective type, you're not the one to go on a pilgrimage. Dante once said that just going out the door of your home was to be on pilgrimage. Our text for this morning, taken from John chapter 12, is set in Jerusalem. Jesus has arrived with so many other people for the festival of Passover. And our text reads that there were some Greek pilgrims who approached him, or approached one of the disciples, Philip, and said these strange words, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Was it a kind of curiosity, a kind of touristy, well, while we were in the area, we thought we might just kind of drop in? Or was it a kind of sincere, a kind of, we'd really like to know what this person's all about because we've heard so much about him, and we're interested because he seems to have some ideas that are really, really important. We're never told. Those Greek pilgrims are never mentioned again. We don't know whether they ever saw Jesus. Because when approached by Philip and Andrew about this request by these men, Jesus answers with what is really on his mind. His response is, "Now it's time. Now it's time. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." The journey we take spiritually in Lent is meant to take us to the cross, to the same place it took Jesus. It is meant to help us sort out the important from the merely interesting. It is not a tour of interesting places, so much as a tour of our hearts. Where and who are questions we need to answer? Where are we going, and who are we anyway? The question really is, which Jesus do we mean to find? Is it the radical Jesus, the one who loves on taking on tradition, taking on the vested interests, taking on the power brokers, the one who just cuts a swath right through society? Or is it the inner Jesus, the one who affirms your inner impulses, who models a way of finding his own center, who validates your own chosen path? Or, and here I'm making a judgment call, is it the real Jesus, the one who also walked this earth, who talked, who lived, who died with others, who was hungry, who was thirsty, who got angry, who was gentle and yet could be very devastating, who was warm, who was sometimes brutally frank, who was sorrowful and often frustrated. Yesterday, some of us attended a day conference in Winnipeg entitled Journeying Together, Accompanying the Aging. It was a good day. It was valuable for the many wise words which were said, but it was also valuable for the passion with which people there saw the value of the third act of life. Being linked to it, absorbed in it by virtue of their job or their calling and their interest. Things like elder care, palliative care, sensitivity to the needs of seniors, etc., were important topics for us to consider. We learned that for many seniors, there is a great burden to find meaning and significance in this senior part of their lives. And so, as one of the speakers, John Neufeld, would say, it may be necessary to go into the archives of the heart to look for answers or to find a way toward comfort, peace, and hope. I was moved to consider another question. Much as these seniors are looking for meaning and significance in this third part of life, what are you looking for this Easter or this Lent? I had never really observed Lent until I was married. But I found that it gave me time and interest to go deeper, to see new dimensions of what the journey to the cross meant, to see Jesus and myself in a new light, to see the way to the cross as part of the meaning of the cross. John's gospel describes Jesus' response to this question in at least three parts. First of all, in hearing this question, or hearing this request to see Jesus, it says he is troubled. He is troubled, most likely, because for him it is being revealed that there is a time and a place for him now to do what he actually came for. The prospect of what he was in for, this notion of being lifted up, troubles him because he knows it is not a glorious lifting up. It is a brutal, painful, and ultimately failing life that he is going to represent for so many. For everyone around him will see his death as being the end of yet another noble life. All of us have aspirations to live noble lives. We grow up thinking of our success. We think of growing up to be significant people with so many things to contribute, not only to our friends, but to society. I can identify. And yet now, to see it all come apart in a way, we are troubled. Secondly, Jesus recognizes and accepts his mission for what it is. Even though he is troubled, he accepts that this is what he is to do. His self-chosen act to accomplish what God intended right from the beginning, that is, the reconciliation of all that God has made with God in God's glory. To reconcile people like these Greek tourists, these Greek pilgrims who had come to see him. This is what he was for. This is what he had chosen. This is what he wanted. And thirdly, that Jesus' death on the cross would accomplish everything necessary and would draw all people to himself. The writer to the Hebrews in our text this morning, Hebrews 5, verses 5 to 10, also recognizes the significance of Jesus' humanity in his journey to the cross. The Jesus described in John is the one described in the book to the Hebrews. This Jesus, this man of sorrows, this one who weeps but also is with, who goes on before but also watches over. Jeremiah, those many centuries earlier, writes in chapter 31, verses 31 to 34, that God's law, rather than being stones that are extraneous to us, will actually be engraved on our hearts. That God's identity will be embedded on our very souls. So which God, if you were those Greeks, which Jesus would you want to see? I can think for some of us, we would love to see the God of miracles, the Jesus who does miracles. So would I. But that isn't something we can just activate. Perhaps more importantly, what we really need and want is the Jesus who walks alongside us, who is always present, who knows exactly how we feel because he has felt that himself. The one who will walk with us all the way and who will also see us safely home. That's what I've learned this Lent. Amen.